Hello, everybody. Welcome to Jumping in an Elevator, the podcast where I, Mike, I'm a human on a planet. And I don't think we talk about that enough. We are literally humans on a planet. On a planet that's just like, ooh, in space. Anyway, but I feel like I speak about space and all that jazz too frequently on this podcast. Everyone's like, stop talking about that. Literally no one said that. Anyway, special hello to Savannah. Thank you for being one of my top tier patrons. Savannah, I hope you're flossing. You know, I sat down and I was like, whoa, what's my wish for Savannah today? And I thought, I just hope Savannah's flossing. Yeah. You know, one time, this is unrelated to Savannah. I'm not spreading a rumor that Savannah has bad breath. She could. I don't know. I'm not bad breath shaming, okay? Anyway, but brush your teeth and floss. Anyway, I one time Googled something about tonsil stones, right? Disgusting. Don't look it up. It's disgusting. And after that one Google search, one about tonsil stones, you know when you go on like a website, like a wiki, like a fandom wiki, that kind of page, and they have ads, and the ads are all very similar. It's like, doctors hate her. This 73-year-old woman looks 15. How has she done it? Like that kind of shit. One of those ads that I keep getting now is about tonsil stones. It's like, click here. Got bad breath? Here's why. And it's a picture of a fucking festy, disgusting, feral tonsil stone. It's like, I'm in lockdown. I'm suffering enough. I don't need to see a tonsil stone every time I go onto a fandom wiki. Why am I going onto the fandom wiki so much? Mind your business. Great. So, for today's podcast, I wanted to talk about Y2K, Y2K slay moment, Y2K aesthetic, hashtag Depop TikTok. TikTok's loving Y2K at the moment. It started off, I would say, this is my analysis of the situation. It started off as people bringing back Y2K fashion, and then that led to Y2K aesthetic. And then because our generation cannot take anything seriously, that turned into describing anything as Y2K aesthetic, and now just anything can be a Y2K moment. So, for example, me putting up a TikTok about how when I open my curtains, there's just a brick wall outside my window, which is fun, by the way. I'm loving the brick wall being part of the Mike cinematic universe. It's true. It's a main character. No, not a main character, like secondary character, but starts to get more of, like, has more impact on the story towards season 3, season 4 of the story. Like that kind of thing. But yeah, so someone described it as Y2K brick wall. And you know what? They were so right for that. And I'm glad they said it because it's important. So for this episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about the phrase Y2K, what Y2K actually means, because I don't think a lot of people who talk about Y2K in this funny haha Y2K thing. I've said Y2K so many times. I'm going to say it a lot. Deal with it. I don't know if they know that it was an event. Y2K was an event. And it was absolute fucking scenes. And people lived through that shit. Bitch, I lived through that shit. I was born in 1995. Quick side note. I'm older than the teacher from Gossip Girl. Miss Kate Keller. I am older than Kate Keller. And I don't love that. I was just like, I'm not old, but I'm just aging. The fuck? This fucking Panasonic that's happening right now. Tell me why it had to happen at my appearance and career peak. Could it not have happened when I was at uni and like just in my room studying anyway? It's so offensive. Or like it could have happened when I... Actually, no. I can't think of another time because I'm like, I literally don't know what the rest of my life would look like. I was like, why couldn't it happen when I was 50 and I'm thinking, and what? What the fuck am I going to be doing when I'm 50? Guys, the existential crisis. Existential, hello, added too many X's there. But sometimes we all do that, you know? Let's focus here. Imagine that. Imagine me focusing on one topic. Craziness, absolute madness. So let's talk about Y2K. Oh, yeah, I was talking about Kate Keller. Yeah, I'm older than Kate Keller. Don't love it. But I'm younger than Max from Gossip Girl. So that really makes you think this casting age bracket is interesting. Zoya's like 18. And then Max, who's supposed to be 16. So Zoya's 18 playing a 14-year-old. This 26-year-old's playing an 18... No, 26-year-old's playing a 16-year-old. And then this 24-year-old, or she's 25, I think, the actress for Kate Keller, she's playing someone, I think she's close to her 30s. I don't know, it's very confusing. Hollywood just be making ages up, convinced. Anyway, so Y2K. If we go to Urban Dictionary, which I think is a fun place to start, the definition on Urban Dictionary is, supposedly at midnight on January 1st, 2000, all electronic devices would cease to work. Lots and lots of people stocked up on food and household items. Y2K didn't happen, though. Great. That is just such a fantastic definition. Just what else could you ask for? A lot of things. And audience, listeners, I think it's okay to ask for more. You know, sometimes you're just like, whoa, that kind of told me everything I needed to know. But no, you can ask for more. There are more things to learn. So let's go ahead and read the definition from Britannica. So, Y2K bug. Now remember, this is capital Y, letter 2, capital K. Y2K bug, also called the year 2000 bug or millennium bug, a problem in the coding of computerized systems that was projected to create havoc in computers and computer networks around the world at the beginning of the year 2000. So remember, in metric measurements, K stands for 1,000. So Y2K is year 2000. Love that. After more than a year of international alarm, feverish preparations like doomsday preppers vibes, and programming corrections, few major failures occurred in the transition from December 31st, 1999 to January 1st, 2000. The concept of millennium, like millennia, and years, you know my thoughts on the calendar. You know, I'm not a massive calendar stan. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I had the chance to time travel back and slap Julius Caesar for fucking around with the calendar, I would absolutely do it. And can you blame me? No. That man. Fuck Julius Caesar, honestly. Oh, I still think about that. How they just like had to make one of the months have less days. So they did the one that was like scary. Like, this one's scary. Let's take one of the days away. Like, sorry, what? Basically, Julius Caesar is on my nerves. And if I ever have access to a time travel device, he better watch the fuck out. So if your bestie's with Julius Caesar, maybe let him know. Until the 1990s, many computer programs, especially those written in the early days of computers, were designed to abbreviate four-digit years as two-digit in order to save memory space. Now, this is that's very simplified, and we probably don't need to go any further than that, but just know that there's a lot more associated with that and how data storage works. I have talked a little bit about data storage, but I don't think going into super detail here would really add anything at all. So these computers could recognize 98 as 1998, but would be unable to recognize 00 as 2000, perhaps interpreting it to mean 1900. Ooh. The time travel serve. Many fear that when the clock struck midnight on January 1st, 2000, many affected computers would be using an incorrect date and thus fail to operate properly unless the computer's software was replaced. Ooh, what was that? James, I just came up with a new word. Was repaired or replaced before that date. Other computer programs that projected budgets or debts into the future could begin manufacturing malfunctioning in 1999 when they made projections into 2000. In addition, some computer software did not take into account that the year 2000 was a leap year. Like, as if there was enough drama, the fucking leap year? Do I just stop this podcast now? Leap year. Leap year. leap year. See, things like the leap year are a perfect example of humans just like coming up with shit. Coming up with shit, and then drama happens because of it, so they just make more shit to deal with the shit they already created. So they come up with the concept of years. And it's not that years aren't real. I mean, the concept of a year isn't real, but the physical phenomenon that a year is based around, like in terms of the planets, babes, it's the planets doing their thing, that's real. But the way we understand it as a year is just made up by humans, right? But I mean, anything's made up as a way of understanding the world. Spill. That is the quote of the podcast. I've said it so many times. Everything is fucking made up and bullshit. Spill. So true. Anyway, yeah, so years. And then they were like, oh shit, there's like this extra little bit of time left. Doesn't really fit into a day, because it's like a quarter of a day vibes. You know what, besties? Let's just fucking put it in a leap year. Nobody moved. Nobody said anything. Made zero impact. But I mean, it's fun for people that are like born in a leap year, because it's like, are you 6? Or are you 24? And what does that mean for society? So it's fun that this was already an issue, and then the calendar's like, bestie, imagine if the year 2000 was a leap year as well. Wouldn't that just be super exciting? Even before the dawn of 2000, it was feared that some computers might fail on September 9, 1999, which is 9999 in brackets. Do not get me started on how Americans do dates. It's so sick and twisted. And I get clowned. I get clowned for saying day, month, year. And people are like, that's wrong. You're doing it wrong. I'm sorry. Just because your country does it this way and everyone else does it a different way doesn't mean you're right. Do not get me started on that. They feared that computers would fail on September 9, 1999 because early programmers often used a series of nines to indicate the end of a program. The amount of fucking issues on this day. So 9999 could have been used to indicate the end of a program, and everyone's like, oh shit, all the computers are going to fucking stop working. It was feared that such a misreading would lead to software and hardware failures in computers used in such important areas such as banking, utility systems, government records, and so on, with the potential for widespread chaos on and following January 1st, 2000. Mainframe computers, including those typically used to run insurance companies and banks, were thought to be subject to the most serious Y2K problems, but even newer systems that use networks of desktop computers were considered vulnerable. First of all, we need to acknowledge how well I just read that. We were reading around the room, and it came to me, and the teacher said, Mike, it's your time. And I really just shined there. So claps for me. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God, thank you. That's another thing I've been doing recently. Just fucking randomly, thank you. Oh my God, thank you. Thank you. Y2K problem was not limited to computers running conventional software, however. Many devices containing computer chips, ranging from elevators... not the elevator mention. Yeah, I'm going to put a explosion sound effect in. Of course. Please. Anytime we mention an elevator, just offhand, in the Jumping in an Elevator podcast, please, that's a Nexus event. That's what the girls in Loki were talking about. Nexus event. I'm a Nexus being, it's true, why lie? I'm kind of giving Kang the Conqueror Y2K realness at the moment. Ranging from elevators to temperature control systems in commercial buildings to medical equipment, all now are in dangerous territory, were believed to be at risk, which necessitated the checking of these embedded systems for sensitivity to calendar dates. This is funny to me in a sense that it just shows that anything could go wrong, but also it shows that humans doubt themselves a lot. Because surely when the people were making this shit, someone thought about this kind of problem. Like, what if the calendar changes to 2000 from 1999 and then this software that can only read two digits just has an absolute hissy fit? Surely someone thought about it. Surely there was a girl boss named Stacy at some computer lab in Germany, and I don't know what she's doing there, but she's slaying. Everyone clap for Stacy, the German developer, in 1999. Where my Stacy stands at? Oh my god. Did I say Stacy because I've got ASAP Stacy on the brain? Maybe. Everyone's like, why have you stopped dancing to ASAP Stacy on TikTok? I haven't stopped. I still record them. I just put them in the drafts. That's why I have so many drafts. I have like 100 and something drafts now. Because it's like, I'm not dancing ASAP Stacy for you. I'm doing it for me. You know, that's part of my journey. And it's helping me through lockdown, doing ASAP Stacy dance. ASAP, da na 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 na. And look, not to be an ASAP Stacy purist, but it's like, if I see someone doing the dance and they're doing it wrong, it enrages me. Even if they're like joking around and doing it on like Instagram story, I'm like, if you're not putting all the effort in and doing the dance properly, why are you even doing it? Is that an exclusive? Bye. I tried to say explosive and exclusive. Exclusive, new word. Guys, we're just rewriting the bloody dictionary here, aren't we? We are living, we are loving, and we are laughing. It's true. Okay, back to the matter at hand. In the United States, business and government technology teams worked feverishly with the goal of checking systems and fixing software. Of course, it was in the United States. Sorry. Fixing software before the end of December 1999. Although some industries were well on the way to solving the Y2K problem, most experts feared that the federal government and state and local governments were lagging behind. When are they fucking not? A Y2K preparedness survey commissioned in late 1998 by Capgemini America. What does Capgemini America sound like? A re-up of Captain America. Captain Gemini America. Was Captain America a Gemini? Can we fact check that? Where's my fact checker? Fact checker sits in the corner of the room. Hey, fact checker, can you check if Captain America was a Gemini? Thank you. Showed that among 13 economic sectors studied in the United States, government was the least ready for Y2K. Rated highest for preparedness was the software industry. Well, you would fucking hope, wouldn't you? And you know who we have to thank for that? Stacy, the German software developer. In an effort to encourage companies to share critical information about Y2K, US President Bill Clinton in October 1998 signed the Year 2000 Information and Readiness Disclosure Act. So many words, and what are you actually saying? The law was designed to encourage American companies to share Y2K data by offering them limited liability protection from sharing information about Y2K products, methods, and best practices. Wait, what? What kind of information are they trying to get from these companies about Y2K? I think somebody trying to set me up. In Western Europe, the European Commission issued a report warning that efforts to solve Y2K in many European Union member countries were insufficient, particularly in terms of the cross-border cooperation needed to be ready by 2000. So the girls are fighting. That's the basic summary here. Guys, my fucking neighbors just started playing music and the walls are vibrating. I'm fighting for my life here. Every day is a struggle. Can you hear it? Ready? Everyone stay silent for 5 seconds. And it's just doof doof. Like, consider some Amy Winehouse. Consider some K-pop. I mean, I'm not even going to say that because they're definitely not going to consider K-pop if they're paying Ed Sheeran. Yes, that's true. Someone played an Ed Sheeran song. And I'm a survivor of that. Also, my eye's twitching right now. I don't know if you can see it. My eye's been twitching on and off for like weeks now. And I posted on my story and I was like, hey, any doctors follow me here? Can you tell me why my eye's twitching? And some girl busties, which is a cross of girl boss and bestie, girl busties. Some girl busties, that I just made that up, by the way, they replied and they were like, it's because you're not getting enough sleep / you're dehydrated / you're looking at a screen too much. I'm definitely hydrated. Let's just quell those rumors right now, those Lizzo x Cardi B rumors right now. I'm not dehydrated. I do drink a lot of water. But in terms of sleep, I've never had more sleep. It's true. So sleep-wise, I think we're doing good. If it was based on sleep, bitch, I would have been vibrating in the eyeball sector just throughout 2012 to 2017, the undergrad and master's era. Because I was running on 1 minute of sleep per day. It was madness. Absolute fucking madness. The more I think about that era, it's just absolute chaos scenes. Because, like, I didn't drink coffee during university. And I was driving an hour and a half each way each day. So 3 hours of driving, sometimes really early in the morning and sometimes really late at night. And I wasn't having coffee? Bitch, how the fuck was I staying awake? The only reason I get up at a good time now is so I can run domains on Genshin Impact. What other reason is there for me to get up early? I mean, I don't even have to get up early to do the Genshin stuff. I just do it early so I get out of fucking bed. I'm living for Genshin Impact and coffee at the moment. And is that so wrong? Guys, why is the music getting louder? It's so sick and twisted. Anyway, let's keep going. So where were we? European Commission was saying the girls in the European Union were fighting about flopping in terms of Y2K preparations. Fantastic. The British government announced that its armed forces would be prepared in time. Is it that serious? And it would provide assistance to local police if utilities, transport systems, or emergency services. Oh my god, so they thought like literal vehicles would fucking stop. Well, I mean, not the vehicle. The vehicle is... Wait, are vehicles analog? Now, hold on. Because the analog versus digital conversation, like... I know we're jumping around here, but are you expecting anything else from this podcast? No. So analog versus digital watches, like digital has the screen. An analog watch with the hands, that's still mechanical. Like, that's called a mechanical watch. So, for example, if you get a mechanical skeleton watch, that's ones where you can see through the front and you can see all the shit moving and they don't have batteries, I think. Is that how that works? But yeah, cars, you don't need a battery to run the car. That's bullshit. What the fuck am I saying? What the fuck are you doing? You do need a battery to run the car, but the battery doesn't start the engine for like a gas, what the fuck, for a petrol car, because, you know, famously cylinders firing on all cylinders, you know, and the boom and the and everything moves, and then the electrical systems in the car are for everything else and hooking all the shit up. That is the worst possible definition of how a car works. Every day is a struggle for the listeners of this podcast. We are dream girls. Yeah, I kind of ate that. Many other countries, notably Asian countries suffering at the time from an ongoing economic crisis, as well as small or geographically isolated countries, were thought to be less prepared. It was uncertain how this would affect the tightly integrated world economy and physical infrastructure. Let's get physical! Brackets, infrastructure. In mid-December 1998, the UN convened its first international conference on Y2K. Every time I open the fucking TikTok app, it feels like an international conference on Y2K. And you know who chairs the conference? This one girlie who I'm obsessed with. She's so funny. I follow her on two accounts. I think Captain Crook. And then I can't remember what the other one's name is, the other account that she's got. I feel like her name's Alex Consani, and the only reason why I know that is because she sells shit on Depop, and everyone in the comments is like, Y2K Alex Consani on Depop. So yeah, basically, if there's an international conference on Y2K happening, it's every time I open the TikTok app and see one of her TikToks. Shout out to Alex Kansani, big fan. They convened the conference in an attempt to share information and crisis management efforts and establish the International Y2K Cooperation Center. Girl, so many letters. Based in Washington, D.C. An estimated $300 billion, yes, B, not M, $300 billion was spent, almost half in the United States, to upgrade computers and application programs to be Y2K compliant. This is, oh my God, the girls were stressed. I need to talk to my mum about this because I want to know if everyone's just shitting. Because it sounds like everyone's just absolutely fucking shitting about this. That everyone's just going to stop working and that the all the systems are going to go down. Everyone's going to go live in like the Last of Us era without the zombies. Mind you, they didn't know about Last of Us back then, but I'm sure the girls were talking about zombies, you know? 100%. Zombies been around since... People were telling stories. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds like it would be true. As the first day of January 2000 dawned and it became apparent that computer systems were intact, reports of relief filled the news media. Oh, I know. Rupert Murdoch was having a fucking field day. They were running those papers, I reckon, 24/7, updating the live blog. Were the girls blogging? Yeah. But did they have the bandwidth for that mentally? And in terms of software? Something to discuss. These were followed by accusations that the likely incidents of failure had been greatly exaggerated from the beginning. Those who had worked in Y2K compliance efforts insisted that the threat had been real. They maintained that the continued viability of computerized systems was proof that the collective effort had succeeded. In following years, some analysts pointed out that the programming upgrades that had been part of the Y2K compliance campaign had improved computer systems and that the benefits of these improvements would be continued to see for some time to come. So basically, all this shit was because of the numbers, like referring to years as two digits and then having to refer to years as four digits. Craziness. Madness. I guess it is one of those things where you don't really think about it until it's like, oh shit, I have to think about it. What's another example of that? Like, here's a fun example. I'm not thinking about the sugar content of Biscoff spread until I get a massive headache a couple of hours after and I'm like, this feels like sugar withdrawal. And then I look at the thing and it's like fucking 60% sugar. And then I think about it a lot. And I'm still going to eat it. Because I deserve it. Hashtag Biscoff's up for Mike. Okay, Y2K slay girl boss moment. Let's talk about Y2K aesthetic and Y2K fashion. So let's start with this aesthetics.fandom.com/wiki/Y2K. Come on, internet. Guys, we're having a full circle moment right now. We're talking about the internet while you're using the internet. The internet is just... it's madness. It's madness. And I've spoken about this before, how when you like watch something on YouTube, you're downloading packets of data. When you're streaming, you're downloading packets of data. So you can view what you're viewing. It's like cached on the phone. So that if you drop out, for example, I'm watching KDA music videos, and I get in the elevator. Yes, this is based on true events, no rumors. I mean, the rumors were true. No lies is what I meant to say. And then, like, I get in the elevator and the reception cuts out. I've still got a bit of, like, probably, like, 10, 15 seconds of KDA to get me through the elevator ride, and I'm very thankful for that. Everyone streamed the More music video. Shout out to Madison Beer. Great. So where was I going with that? I was talking about how it just... even though I know how it all works... the fact that phones do kind of get heavier when you watch YouTube videos, it's so crazy. Like, the internet is one of those things where you don't want to know how it all works. Like, it's more fun to be oblivious and just use the internet to do whatever you need to do then think about how it works. Because then if you think about how it works, it just gets... It's too much, babes. It's too much. I'm not built for that. Well, I mean, I am. Hashtag master's degree. Anyway, so Y2K aesthetic. Y2K is an aesthetic that was prevalent in popular culture from roughly 1995 to 2004. Name a YouTuber born in 1995. Me, bitch. Named after the Y2K bug, it is characterized by a distinct aesthetic period encapsulating fashion, hardware design, music, and furnishings shining with tech optimism, sometimes literally. Who wrote this? They really snapped on this. According to the Y2K Aesthetic Institute, bitch, there's a fucking institute? I want to work there. Now, hold on. Copy. We're going to search this up live. Watch what happens. Some of its aspects include tight leather pants. Oh, bitch, I'm not going near tight leather pants. I'm not. I'm so glad skinny jeans are over. For me personally, as a skinny jean wearer, past tense, it needed to stop and it did. Silver eyeshadow. Okay, so my mum is Y2K every day. We love that. Shiny clothing, Oakleys, gradients, and blobber texture. Me when I look in the mirror. Blobber texture. Most Y2K aesthetics rely on the use of technology and slick futuristic looks, signaling the optimism of a new era as the 20th century or second millennium progressed into the 21st century or third millennium. One of the earliest definers of the Y2K aesthetic is the Designers Republic, a Sheffield-based graphic design studio best known for their work on the Wipeout video game franchise and various album artwork. Guys, are you learning right now? I'm learning. We're hashtag learning together. The Y2K era ended in late 2004 and was succeeded by the Frutiger, Aero, and McBling era. I'm sorry, what? Frutiger, Aero, and McBling? McBling? What's McBling? McBling is an aesthetic that was popular from roughly 2003 to 2008. Guys, I think people on TikTok are mistaking Y2K for McBling. Can they give me a description here? It's talking about the Iraq War? What? Iraq War, MySpace, iPad, Paris Hilton, Simple Life? Okay. Here we go. Popular visual cues of the era. This is McBling. This is not even Y2K. 1970s-esque maximalism. Worship culture of mainstream pop stars. Wait, not me and my McBling era. Hollywood royalty who were popular at the time, such as Paris Hilton, Beyonce, Britney Spears, bedazzled flip phones, trucker hats, large Jeeps, Hummers, Range Rovers, Rovers, jewelry and bling, websites like MySpace. People often associate this aesthetic with the color pink, as it was popularized by Paris Hilton during this time. Guys, TikTok is fucked up. I mean, that in itself is true. But they've fucked up because they're saying that Y2K is McBling. Next time you see someone trying to say that, like, Juicy Couture tracksuits are Y2K, that's McBling. Get it correct, please. A darker side to the McBling aesthetic centers around the myriad of celebrity scandals that went down around the time, including Britney Spears' meltdown in 2007. Hashtag shout out to Britney. Hashtag free Britney. Love you, Britney. Hope you're doing well. Lindsay Lohan going to jail several times for a variety of reasons. Ashley Tisdale, messy red carpet looks. Now, why'd you have to bring my girl into this like that? Over-exaggerated tabloid headers, love those. Amanda Bynes' unflattering paparazzi photos. Amanda Bynes' messy tweets. Oh, she really did love a messy tweet. Everyone, take this opportunity to go look at those delicious videos on that excellent YouTube channel called Mike's Mike. The messy pop star tweets one. Actually, I don't even know if I talked about Amanda Bynes in those. And then Brad Pitt leaving Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie. So, the fashion in McBling contains messy and controversial outfits worn by these celebrities during the 2000s, low-rise jeans, Juicy Couture tracksuits, told ya, ripped clothes. So like other brands include Brandy Melville, Playboy, Murakami, Louis Vuitton, Von Dutch, Victoria's Secret, Hollister. And then movies that were part of this were Mean Girls in 2004. Now, hold on. Mean Girls being in 2004, I don't love that. That's fucked up. That's so old. It really is getting weird. High School Musical, Wild Child, Jennifer's Body, The House Bunny, Confessions of a Shopaholic. Well, that's a fucking good movie. I'm going to rewatch it. Okay, that's just totally thrown me out. That, first of all, Mean Girls is part of McBling. And then also that it was 2004. I was 9. Doing all that? Okay. What happens after McBling era? Nobody knows. I mean, someone definitely knows. What's Frutiger Arrow? This is that, like, just random shit on the screen that kind of reminds me of that Affirmations Instagram page. You know the one. If you follow Brittany Broski on Instagram, you know the one. Us Brittany Broski followers, we are troopers. We are survivors. But, I mean, would I ask for anything else than Brittany Broski posting an affirmation on her story? No, that is prime content to me. And also you have, like, iPods and, like, screensavers, like Windows home screen saver aesthetic and electric cars, sliding phones. Wall-E is part of this Frutiger era. I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong, but whatever. So back to Y2K. Y2K aesthetics could have possibly been inspired by other previous futuristic aesthetics such as retrofuturism. Some elements of Y2K, especially from earlier portion of the era, would also cross over into vaporwave aesthetic. I'm sure you know what that is. Since it shares vaporwave's angst towards late-stage capitalism and its nostalgic desire to retreat into a retrofuturist world promised before Western society entered its current troubled times. The person who wrote this was really just going for it, and I love that for them. However, the Y2K aesthetic has not yet been explored by the vaporwave scene as much as earlier, more ubiquitous periods like the 80s, 90s, synth, neon aesthetic. Okay. There's a lot going on here, but let's have a look at graphics and music. So it's saying some typical graphic styles that came up during Y2K era were chrome, icy blue, ocean, bright oranges, glossy whites, and blacks for line work. Yeah, that sounds about right. And then for music. Since Y2K was about embracing the future, the tone of music also reflected this. Electronic music was the go-to genre to capture this era as a musician. The most well-known music associated with Y2K is Big Beat, a subgenre of electronic music that used heavy breakbeats and synthesizer-generated loops and patterns. Bands such as The Prodigy, Fatboy Slim, and The Crystal Method. Shout out to Christy Method. Guys, I'm going to have to end this podcast because I can't fucking read or speak. Junkie XL and Propeller Heads. I don't know these bands. I don't know them. And I don't know. It's talking about Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't like Red Hot Chili Peppers. Am I over? Is it bad for me to say that I would rather listen to Bad Baby than listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers? I had to speak my truth, okay? What I'm getting from this is that a lot of people are mistaking Y2K aesthetic with McBling. I love McBling. Is Y2K the serve? Yes. Is McBling a bigger serve? I would say so. Movies that are relevant to Y2K are Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Titanic, Jawbreaker, The Matrix, American Pie, Pokemon. Ooh, that's fun. Fight Club, Donnie Darko, Agent Cody Banks, so true. Legally Blonde, Zoolander, Shrek, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Spider-Man, Ice Age, Scooby-Doo, Lilo and Stitch, These movies, yeah, fantastic. Looney Tunes back in action, Finding Nemo, Garfield, Catwoman, SpongeBob SquarePants movie, Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, Pyramid of Light. We won. There's also discussion of like video games from that era. And then fashion, Y2K vendors, JNCO, don't know what that is, My Sweet Outfit, don't know what that is, Kickwear, UFO, Be Wild, don't know what they are, and then Oakley sunglasses. I know who Oakley sunglasses are because they charge a shitload. I remember I went in to try some sunglasses just to give that little bit of like, I could be a snowboarder, but I could also not be. I could just be I was going to say a model, bitch. You can tell I'm not a fucking model. I could be a nepotism baby. You know, the people who live in New York and they're rich and famous because their parents were. They love to wear a snowboarding glass as well. It's true. So, yeah, I went in because I wanted to live that fantasy. And I put the sunglasses on and I was like, I could work these, you know. And then I looked at the price, and they were like $500. I was like, is it that serious? Let me know in the comments below. Is it that serious? And then it's talking about the resurgence of Y2K. And then here we go. A good example to summarize everything is TLC No Scrubs. Music video is Y2K vibes. I'm wondering what we should do with this McBling conversation. Maybe we could follow it up. Another episode about McBling. Or something like that. I wanted to do a series of episodes about the Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, who else? Like that whole era and all the drama that went down there. It's well documented, but I feel like it'd be a fun thing to talk about on the podcast. So we shall see. Actually, yeah, let me know what you think about that. If you would enjoy that, I would like to talk about that, and it'll probably take like 2 or 3 episodes to do it. So it could be like a running thing. We are in the episode 40s to 50s now. We have graduated to the 40s and 50s. It's just madness. Did you live like this? Yeah, I do. Cool. All right. That brings me to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed listening to it, which I hope you did, I enjoyed talking about this shit. Bye. We learned so much. Yeah, I hope you're doing well. And Savannah, make sure you're flossing, please. And don't Google tonsil stones. Cool. I'll talk to you all soon. Bye.